بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing the chapter on respecting people, respecting the sanctity of Muslims and the explanation of their rights and having compassion and mercy on them. So today's hadith is a hadith, a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing us that what level of relationship one Muslim has with another Muslim. Whether that Muslim, another Muslim is overseas, whether he's in the furthest part of the world, whether he's on some remote island, and you are here in the middle of Africa, what relationship you got with that Muslim that is on that side? To show us, this is what you call a ummat. Ummat is not just names. I'm a Muslim, he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim. But there's more to it. There's some feeling, there's some love, there's some mutual muhabbat, respect. All that comes under this aspect of being an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being one ummat. So today's hadith will explain to us that what level of taluk and relationship a Muslim should have. It doesn't matter which part of the world he is, what level of relationship he should be having with another Muslim. So today's hadith, عن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل المؤمن في ثوادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضوا تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى متفق عليه. هذا النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the similitude of the believers in their love, fi tawadduhim, in their love that they have for each other, fi tawadduhim, their love, Allah Ta'ala has created love. What level of love should a one Muslim have for another? So مثل المؤمن في تواديهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم, that the similitude and the love that one believer has for the another, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that in their love and their mercy and their affection for each other is like that of the human body. What a beautiful example. It's like that of a human body. When one part of it experiences pain, the entire body responds with restlessness and fever. When one part of the body feels pain, then the entire body responds with restlessness and fever. Such a beautiful example Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. That here you are one person, somebody else is somewhere else, but you're all of you, wherever you are like one body. You're not separate. The finger is feeling pain, and the whole body is uncomfortable. The toe is feeling pain, the whole body is uncomfortable. The head and the rest of the body, don't tell the toe, say, listen here, you are feeling the pain, don't affect us. Or the finger, don't tell the finger that you are feeling the pain, don't affect us. All of them are restless because that one part of the body is feeling pain. In other words, the love and compassion that one Muslim should have for another Muslim is like that. That if he is feeling pain, then I'm also feeling the pain. If he is happy, I'm also happy. If he is sad, I'm also sad. In other words, we share in the happiness of our fellow Muslim brothers. We share in their sadness also. So this is a Muslim. Not that he gets news of something happening to other Muslims and he thinks nothing of it. No. He feels sadness in his heart. He makes dua for them. And whichever way he can assist, he tries and assists. So this is the example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us. Can you get a better example than this to show the closeness and interrelationship that Muslims have with this relationship, and they have this type of love for each other? Then you find that this even affects the non-Muslims. Not too long ago there was a non-Muslim that came and was telling me, he said that when I look at you Muslims and the way you all relate to each other with your family and your family structures, I look and I see how happy you people are. I just wish that in our culture also, this person from a white background, I just wish in our culture also we could have this. It looks so nice, it feels so nice, even to be amongst you people also feels nice. I can see that love and the muhabbat. That now he just saw a few examples of where the children, the sons, the fathers, sometimes the parents are gone old and the children are helping the father along, they're looking after them. Now for them that is something completely abnormal. Completely. The moment that, as a child is growing up, the moment he's getting a little big, he's sent out to boarding school. And now when he's big and the parents get old, now they are sent to an old age home. So that relationship is not there. Then he's telling me, this person is telling me, you see, that my son is emigrated to Australia. So I don't get to see him at all. I'm alone. I don't see my grandchildren. I don't see my family. I don't see them at all. So he's telling me that on one occasion I went to visit them there in Australia. He said, when I went to visit them, I got like such a cold reception, completely cold reception, as though they were sad that I came to see them. He said, and there was nothing prepared also. When I looked in the fridge, there was nothing there. So myself, I went to the supermarket and I filled up the trolley and I brought a whole lot of stuff and came. But nothing would be prepared for meals there. I had to take the turmeric noodles and I would eat it there. Not like my daughter-in-law had prepared anything. When I look at you people at how happy you are, when you go anytime to your homes, there's always something that is prepared. There's always that type of hospitality. There's that love. He said, we don't find it in our own family. He said, I went so far. I got that type of cold reception. Eventually, I used to prepare something and try and serve them. So he says, when I came back, then for a few years, what would happen, my son would phone me on my birthday. That was that one call I'll get once a year, that my son will phone me on my birthday, and I'll be so happy that my son phoned me. He said, this year, that person is telling me, he said, this year, my son didn't even phone me on my birthday. He said, I waited for him to call, but he didn't even call me on my birthday. He said, now I'm taking him out of my world. I'm not even including him in my world. Now this is their life. So this is the love that Allah Ta'ala has created between us. That this is something we must look after, cherish, that we take pride in looking after our parents. Parents take pride in looking after the children. In other communities, this is not found. Actually, take it as a burden that we have to look after the old people. Here we take it as a means of rahmat, a means of barakat, a means of love. Those people that Allah Ta'ala has given them that opportunity to look after the old people, they should grab it. They should never ever think that this is a musibat and a burden. In one hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that إِنَّكُمْ تَنْتَصِرُونَ وَتَرْزُقُونَ بِأَجْلِ ضُعَفَائِكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. That verily you are assisted and your risk is given to you because of those people that are weak amongst you. That because of the weak people that are with you, Allah Ta'ala is giving you rozi, Allah Ta'ala is helping you. It's not that you are helping the old people and you are taking care of them. It's because of them Allah Ta'ala is helping you. This is how we should be thinking. If a person thinks like that, then he won't feel as though that these people are a burden to him, these old people. He'll actually be happy to take care of them. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.